In retrospect, the universe seemed to be conspiring to convince me not to go to New York the days before September 11th, but I wasn't really paying enough attention. The Saturday before, deep in the pit of my stomach, I felt that something terrible was going to happen. I knew without a doubt that there was a real chance that I would not come back from the scheduled trip. The weird thing was that my girlfriend was picking up the same vibe. And while we both worried, from time to time, about all my flying, this was different. We were filled with a dread, the likes of which we had never experienced before. Then I found out that the meeting was canceled, but I decided to go anyway, because there was always business to take care of in New York. If that wasn't enough of a deterrent, the weather should have been. My flight was canceled, but I was determined to remain the dedicated corporate executive, so I booked another flight. That one didn't leave either. The third one did. I was in the South Tower on the 17th floor when the first plane slammed into the North Tower. Everyone in my group agreed to leave, and we started to walk down the stairs. Part of the way down, we saw people making their way back up. Despite their reassurances that everything was okay in our building, we continued downstairs. It was the instinctive thing to do. When we made it outside, I found myself standing next to a Japanese businessman. With all the chaos going on around me, I heard only one relentless sound that was getting louder and louder. I looked up as the second plane hit the South Tower. Then I looked at the Japanese businessman, and my adrenaline kicked in. Everything, my nerves, my instincts, my gut, was telling me to move and move fast. But my companion was frozen to the spot. Now, I'm not a tall man, but he was shorter than I was. I grabbed him under my arm, and we started to run. We ran, eventually coated in the gray dust of destruction, until we reached the Sony building at 55th Street and Madison Avenue, several miles away. We did not look back. When I was finally able to get a flight back to California the following Saturday, I was a mess. Yet I realized I was ready to make some major changes. First, I didn't want to spend the rest of my life on planes. Second, I believed I had reached the pinnacle of my career. I achieved everything in corporate life that I set out to do. My job included impressive perks, a chauffeured limousine at my disposal, an open expense account, a six-figure salary, the latest techno toys. They were all mine. But now these things weren't important to me. When I asked myself the big question, what do I do now? Something bubbled up in my brain in reply. I remembered writing down, for the first time in my life, my objectives while I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad in what seemed like a lifetime ago. But I didn't do anything about them. At that time, the ingrained way of thinking that I was brought up with took hold. What if, and yeah, but, were mental rebuttals to my enthusiasm for Robert's information. The fact that one of my grandfathers went bankrupt investing in real estate many years before nagged at me. But now everything was different. I was different. I intended to take control and live my life the way I wanted to. I sat down again and wrote out what I desired. I listed where I wanted to be financially and what I sought personally. September 11th showed me that someday is right now.